Morning and happy Palm Sunday. First scripture reading for today comes from Psalms 118 verses 1 and 2. That is Psalms 118 verses 1 and 2. This psalm is a pilgrim psalms, and it was one that would be sung as the travelers converged into Jerusalem in preparation for the holy days. It was a psalm that would have been sung on our Palm Sunday. Listen now to God's word to you today. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Here ends the first scripture reading.
So Palm Sunday is a celebration. We celebrate by processing into the church. We celebrate with the palms and celebrate knowing that this is that kind of a Sunday that it's supposed to be. We're taking a break from Romans today and a break from Romans next week, and the week after that is Youth Sunday, so it's almost a month-long break from Romans. But we have to look at Palm Sunday by looking at the verses. Every single one of the Gospels has Jesus triumphantly entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So we're going to look at the Matthew verse. You know, sometimes when I stand behind here at the pulpit, I think about the fact that I am part of something much, much bigger than I am. Have you ever thought of that sitting there in the pews? That you are making history just by being here in this church on this Palm Sunday. For the last 185 years, people have sat right where you are, well, except this part of the church. So pretty much right where you are, people have sat and listened to a Palm Sunday sermon. Last 185, think of the thousands of people. Think of whose pew you're sitting in, okay? And think of that person. Think of all those people who have come through these doors, and you are one more. And each year, the sermon has been a little different. Right? One of the four Gospels was read that talked about Jesus coming into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. Some years, the pastor focuses on the donkey, right? Other years, the pastor focuses on the arrangements that took place in order to make sure that everything was exactly the way it was supposed to be so that Jesus could ride into Jerusalem on that donkey. But I'm a people person. For me, there's no more important aspect of life than the relationships that we have with God and the relationships that we have with each other. So Jesus came into Jerusalem so that he could bring us closer to God. Jesus came into Jerusalem so that he could bring us closer to each other as well. And we still struggle to figure out how do we have relationships with each other as God would want us to have, but we keep trying, right? We keep trying. So both of our scriptures, Psalm 118 and also Matthew chapter 21, they go hand in hand. They belong together because they provide for us one common theme for us today on this Palm Sunday. So I'm hoping out of the 185 Sundays that you've been to church here on Palm Sunday, not all of you, just a couple of you, for the 185 Sundays that you've been here on Palm Sunday, that you'll remember this one, right? You'll remember this one because we're going to be focusing on one common theme. And that is at the core of our relationship with God, and our relationship with each other, is this command that we find in Psalm 118 and also that we find in Matthew 21. And that is to give thanks. Just give thanks. Let's learn how to do that today. So then hopefully we can take that lesson out of these doors, and as we interact with people, as we go about our everyday lives, we are then able to be people who can give thanks. Let's turn now to Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. As we read the traditional Palm Sunday scripture, when they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. And tie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the disciples, they went, and they did just as Jesus had directed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil. They were asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth, Galilee. This is the word of the Lord." Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the basis for Psalm 118, let's go ahead and look at Psalm 118. We're going to look at it for the beginning part now. The basis for this psalm is the setting of a pilgrimage. Now, in Protestant Christianity, we don't have that tradition, right? Where we would go from one place to another that's a destination point and we're on a pilgrimage. Our brothers and sisters in Egypt, the Coptic Christian, they do. I don't know if you heard the news that as they were worshiping Palm Sunday this morning, a bomb went off in one of their churches. 25, 26 people were killed. They have that tradition. Muslims have the tradition of going to Mecca. Jews have the tradition of going to Jerusalem. About 3 years ago, as when we went to Italy with our mission group, we were eating at a pizzeria. We heard sound outside, and we were right on the street of one of these busy, busy streets. We heard all this commotion outside, so we went outside of the pizzeria and found ourselves smack dab in the middle of a procession. If you've ever been to a procession in Europe, it's a big deal. And we were surrounded by people and by bands and this huge statue of Mary. And folks, it was a celebration. It was that kind of a celebration that you're almost caught up in it, and you know that things are, people are just happy, people are excited. We don't have that in our tradition, so it sounds a little foreign to us, and it may take us a little bit of time to understand, what does it look like? What does a pilgrimage look like? Now, one thing is for sure is that every single year this pilgrimage had to happen. Jesus and his disciples, no matter where they were, had to, around the time of Passover, find their way into Jerusalem. They had to get to Jerusalem, and it could have taken them weeks of walking in order to arrive in Jerusalem, depending where they were. And we know that the roads in order to get to Jerusalem weren't the safest roads. Not only were there animals, but there were sheer precipices that you could fall off of. There are robbers along the way. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan comes along, a man who had been beaten by a band of robbers. That's how we know that these roads were not safe. If you've ever been to Israel and walked along the roads that would take you to Jerusalem, you know they are not safe. And so that's why people traveled in groups. Remember when Jesus was 12? Parents forgot him back in Jerusalem, and they were traveling in a large group. And then when they figured out that he wasn't there anymore, Mary and Joseph had to head back into Jerusalem, folks, when Mary and Joseph went by themselves, that was a dangerous journey. All these details are really, really important to recognize that as soon as those pilgrims arrived in Jerusalem, the first thing on their mind was, thank God. Right? I made it. As a pilgrim arriving in Jerusalem for Passover after a long and arduous and dangerous journey, you just want to celebrate. You want to give thanks to the Lord. You want to say the words of Psalm 121. You guys know those words? How they begin? Because it says that they were in Matthew 21, it says that they were in Bethany on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is here, and then you have to go down a valley, and then Jerusalem is here, and the temple is here. So as you get to this Mount of Olives, and for the first time you see the temple, you just want to say, I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come? Because he did not let my foot be moved. He did not allow evil to overcome. He protected me from evil. And all of that happened during the journey. So you want to celebrate once you get there. And as wave after wave of pilgrims, this is what's happening when Jesus is going into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. Wave of pilgrims are making their way into Jerusalem. It turns into like a pep rally for God. And people are lining the streets, these narrow cobblestone streets, and people are excited to see each other. They haven't seen each other in a year, maybe. They welcome those who've already arrived, welcome those who are coming in. That's what's happening in Psalm 118. Turn to Psalm 118. What you read in verse 2 is this call and response. And it actually starts in verse 1. When you look at verse 1, the call is give thanks to the Lord. And then the response is, his steadfast love endures forever. If I were to say, we are, how would you respond? Okay? You know those words. You know how that works. So if someone were to say, and a Jew as they're entering Jerusalem, if they were to say, we are, no. If they were to say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, the response would be, his steadfast love endures forever. So whatever the call is, the response is going to be, his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 2, let Israel say, oh, you're slow. Let me try this. We are. Okay, now stay with me. Come on now. The response is, his steadfast love endures forever, okay? So let Israel say, let the house of Aaron say, you see how that works? Let those who fear the Lord say. So it became a pep rally as people were walking down these narrow, narrow streets. There was that response that happened time after. I want to try that. I want to try that. Let First Presbyterian Church of Strasbourg say. Let those who love Jesus say. See, it feels good when you've just arrived and you want to call out and say, I made it. Well, you don't have to say it all the time, but you know, I made it. I'm here. And in order to reinforce that, in order to recognize that, wow, God is good all the time. You want everyone else to hear that. You want everyone else to join that. You want everyone else to be a part of that. Celebration that you just made it through and now you're here. That's what Psalm 118 shows. When we go to Matthew, actually let's stay in 118. Don't turn to Matthew yet. Because there's a word in Psalm 118, especially in verse 25. But before we get to verse 25, if you look at verse 22 and following, there are some verses in this psalm that you'll be surprised that are in the psalm. As you read it, you'll recognize these verses. Verse 22, the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. I'm guessing many of you have heard that verse. Verse 23, or verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You've heard that, right? It's all in Psalm 118. That's all a psalm of pilgrims coming into Jerusalem. Verse 25, save us. We beseech you, O Lord. You haven't heard that, right? If I read it to you in Hebrew, you may recognize. Weird. Okay, just the first word. Save us in Hebrew is Hosanna. Okay, save us in Hebrew is Hosanna. So what we find in Matthew chapter 21 is these words of Psalm 118. Call and response, back and forth. The pilgrims, Jesus and his disciples entering Jerusalem. The crowd is in an uproar. The largest pep rally you've ever seen in the face of the earth. And the people are crying out, save us. Not just Hosanna. It is literally, save us, Lord Jesus. Let's go ahead and make our way. Matthew 21. Hosanna. Save us. Crucify him. They all go together. At least they will at the end. As Jesus arrives in Jerusalem in Matthew 21, we need to be sure that we don't get caught in the details so much, and Matthew gives so many great details that we miss the main point of the story. It would be so easy to get caught up in the palm branches and the colt and the donkey, and Matthew, why do you have two animals? How in the world does Jesus ride a colt and a donkey? What's up with that? Don't get lost in that. Or the two disciples who get that colt and a donkey in kind of sketchy way, right? Steal them. But we're not going to get into those details, right? The details aren't the point. They're interesting. There's a danger that if we get too focused on those details that we miss the main point. And the main point is the extent to which the people celebrate, give thanks for the coming of Jesus. The main point. And it's not important if the people knew exactly what they were doing. I don't think they knew exactly what they were doing. They were caught up in the crowd. Jesus knew exactly what he was. You see, what they were participating in, all the crowds, is the fulfillment of prophecy and a continuing of Jesus' journey of salvation and redemption for all of humanity. And today, this Palm Sunday in Matthew 21 was a crucial step, and the people had no idea how crucial it was, and they had no idea that they were playing a role in fulfilling that prophecy, that Jesus would do exactly what he They didn't know. They were so into the arrival of Jesus. Look at verse 10. When Jesus enters the city, it states that Jerusalem, the whole city, was in turmoil. This word turmoil is a noun, right? Terrible. Is it a noun? Thanks. And so turmoil in the Greek is theo. The verb for that same word is seismo. Huh. So seismo means earthquake. Matthew five times talks about earthquakes. One. So here was an earthquake that was taking place. The city was so excited for the arrival of Jesus that he rocked. Whole city was moving. When Jesus was born in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, did you see all of Jerusalem as well? Herod and all of Jerusalem, we read, were afraid. Seismo, but they were fearful. When Jesus died, there was an earthquake. When Jesus rose from the dead, there was an earthquake. When Jesus walked on the water was quaking. Matthew. Same word. The presence of Jesus in our life ought to rock our world in the way that the words of Psalm 118 are continuously on our lips. Give thanks to the Lord. And I mentioned that Jesus' entry was just one step, an important step, in a prophetic journey of him being the Savior of the world. And at the end of these verses, look at verse 11. The question in verse 10 is, who is this person? And the answer in verse 11 is, he is the prophet. And it's true, he was a prophet. He was so much more. But he was the type of prophet that Moses talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Have your Bibles with you. Turn to Deuteronomy 18:15. If you don't know where Deuteronomy is, pretend you're looking for it. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. It's the fifth book of the Bible. So Deuteronomy 15 says, "The Lord your God," this is Moses speaking, and he states, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet." This is the Jesus, the prophet who spoke the words of God that we would listen and obey. This Jesus would be crushed and killed for our sins so that we could have eternal life. This Jesus rose on the third day, proclaiming his place, as Thomas said, as our Lord and our God. So much for which to be thankful in this church on this Palm Sunday. Sometimes we do get caught up in the details, the donkey, the branches, the procession, that we forget that Palm Sunday is really all about people giving thanks to the Lord. Simple. Our focus as a church, sometimes we get lost in the details, right? And sometimes we lose our focus that it's all about giving thanks to the Lord. It's all about focusing on people who don't know Jesus, finding creative ways to draw them in. Why we do the Easter egg hunt, vacation Bible school, 150-day challenge, 5 days of prayer. You know, I am so excited. I get to pray for 40 hours. I am so excited. Huh? Yes. And it starts tonight. If you want to help me out, you're welcome to sign up on the two-thirds of the sheet is filled. I'm excited for that. So I get 40 hours in prayer, folks. So whatever meetings I have this week, you can scratch them. I'm praying. That's what Acts 2, though, said, right? Or 3, or when the I'm off script. When the apostles talked about, hey, we can't serve tables because we need to preach the gospel and pray, that needs to be one of my primary. But if you want to take a few of my hours, you're welcome. You're welcome. Go ahead and sign up. The list is still up on the door. And you can pray anywhere. You don't have to come into the church and pray. You can pray at home. Hey, where was I? Psalm 118 tells us the reason we ought to give thanks to the Lord. Did you notice that? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his steadfast love endures forever. That's how it starts off. If we focus on that, then we can't help but celebrate. But I'm fully aware, and I know the Psalms pretty well, that there are Psalms that give a little bit of a different message. And we find that honest question in a Psalm. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? By the waters of Syria in the town of Khan Sheikhoun, we laid down our harp. For our captors there sent chemical warheads to silence us. See, the Psalms have it all. How do we give thanks when we are at war and we see our children die? With Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, not only did it mark a celebration, and it was a great celebration, but it also marked the beginning of passion. Everything turned. The celebration of the pilgrims and the shouts of give thanks to the Lord are transformed to, I do not know that man, crucify him. The waving branches quickly replaced with the cruel whips and a crown of thorns. A helping hand along the road to Jerusalem becomes a traitorous gift. Yet even in the midst of it all, we can say it as well. Thank you, Lord. steadfast love. Let's go to God in prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks and praise. We have to, because we know that your steadfast love does endure. God, and as we sit here and as we stand here in this sanctuary, as people before us have, don't let us get overwhelmed by the details, but help us leave today this sanctuary with a command to give thanks and a reason why, which is for a blessing upon every person here. This Palm Sunday will be a special. It will be one that they can celebrate your presence in their life. Find creative ways to do that, and find ways to do that so that others around them who may not know you be drawn to you. May this sound.